4/12/85, 8:30 a.m. hearing room A. Public hearing and work session in HB 2350. Tape 167, side A.
350.
How about staff?
All right.
Rick, can you tell us briefly what this bill is about?
The House Bill 2350 transfers gas tax money paid by recreational boaters to the Marine Board. Currently, recreational boaters pay the regular gas tax because it's built into the price of the fuel. And only about $10,000 a year is refunded to recreational boaters. Very few of them apply for refunds. And so the Marine Board would get this transfer, which would amount to about $1.5 million a year, and then use it for supporting boating facilities and projects at the state level and also at the local level.
Okay, thank you. Representative Kopetsky, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I will be brief. I have a written statement, and Mr. Peterson has described what this bill does. It's a simple little bill, as they say in the trade. I know that the legislature in previous sessions has tried to address this issue, and for one reason or another has not been able to come to a closure on this. In fact, some of the members of this committee have been actively involved in trying to pass similar legislation in previous sessions. I hope this session the legislature will be known not only for offering a tax relief proposal to the voters, but also known for taking action to dedicate this motorboat fuel tax, a user fee, if you will, to recreational projects. We must keep in mind that those who benefit from this include not only the thousands of Oregonians who enjoy boating as a family-oriented activity, but also the thousands of tourists who visit our great scenic state as well. I don't need to remind you that tourism is Oregon's third leading industry. Passage of this measure will help this industry as well. I encourage your support of this measure. I'll take any questions. There's other experts here in the room as well.
Any questions?
Do you have a motion?
Well, I'm going to tell Mike I broke a prop down in the river not very long ago, and I know some of that money can be put to good use.
I have another bill, Mr. Chair. Just heard yesterday, and you'll never have that problem again.
Good.
If you get that bill through.
Great, I'm all for it.
Thank you very much.
Ready for your motion.
Are you with us? Yeah, quite a few.
Okay.
Some of your handy is here. I'm not sure if she has
George? Okay, for the audience, we're going to digress just for one moment as a courtesy to Senator Hamby and an out-of-state guest. 5 minutes, enough?
Well, that'll be great, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Yes.
Make it quick.
Hopefully the audience will find it equally as interesting.
For the record, I'm Kenneth Hamby, Senate District 5, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear very briefly on a bill that we will be hearing in the Senate Revenue this afternoon at 1. I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to come in and hear the full testimony of our guest, John Varana. The Senate bill is 750. John Varana happens to be the director of the Tax Amnesty Program in California. He's here to lend his expertise to our Department of Revenue and allow Oregon to hear precisely how it's done. John has traveled extensively to the 12, 11 states that have implemented tax amnesty programs, and he has the best of both worlds going in Oregon. So he's here very briefly to let you know what it's all about.
Well, thank you. I think that's what the voters are after also, yes. So maybe it does relate.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pleasure to be here and to be in this, our sister state of Oregon. California did indeed just finish a tax amnesty program. It ran from December 10th to March 15th. California originally projected it would produce about $66 million. The figures are still being tabulated, but right now it looks like California will generate about $138 to $139 million. We had 150,000 people participate in the program, and the program applied to California's personal income taxes, which generated a little over $100 million, and sales taxes, which generated another 30-some million dollars. Perhaps to digress for a moment to explain why California had a tax amnesty program. Within the nation, as well as within California, there's a serious compliance problem with the administration of tax laws. And what we found was that about one out of every five people cheated to some degree or another on their taxes. And what that creates is an inequity and an unfairness in the tax system in the state of California. And what we found was that tax cheating related to the opportunity to cheat. The wage earner, for example, who was covered by withholding, essentially reported and paid all their income taxes properly and honestly. And what we were trying to do in the state was to improve the level of compliance with California's tax laws. And so tax amnesty became the first step of a comprehensive program to improve the level of compliance with California's tax laws. It was a carrot and stick approach, if you will. Tax amnesty was a one-time opportunity, and I must stress that amnesty should only be a one-time program for individuals to come forward, file and pay past due taxes without penalties or fear of prosecution. After amnesty ends, California initiated a number of tough new enforcement provisions. We increased some of our penalties for tax evasions. More importantly, we developed a number of new sources of information to try to establish some parity between the wage earner, for example, who reports virtually all their income, and people who earn income from other sources, such as self-employed individuals, individuals involved in capital gains. For example, in that area, a national study shows that 40% of all capital gains go unreported. And if your system of taxation is going to be fair, if it's going to be equitable, you have to make sure everyone pays their fair share of taxes. So amnesty provided an opportunity for individuals who weren't arrears in their taxes for whatever reason. A number of people simply made mistakes. There was an economic downturn. They didn't pay their taxes, and they felt trapped. It provided these people to come back into the system. In addition, it also provided a fair warning to individuals that the rules of the game were going to change. And so I think the program was successful in California. I think it can be successful in other states.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to, by the way, California heard from what, almost every state in the United States?
A number of states have contacted us, yes. New York has just recently passed some legislation. Colorado's going to have a program. Wisconsin, Florida, they're looking at the program as well.
But as far as tax evaders and tax, you heard from former California residents, yes, as well as other nations. Some of his stories that he shared with us last night were just absolutely incredible of people that did in fact come forward from the 40s and 50s, if you can imagine.
Well, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill Chapman. I would encourage the witnesses to keep their testimony relatively brief. Bill, I understand you have to head for Portland, so I know you'll be brief.
Well, I will be.
I have written testimonies being passed out, but rather than read that to you, since you have it available, I'll just highlight the more important aspects in that. I'm representing the Oregon Parks Association today. My name is Bill Chapman. I'm the Director of Parks for Benton County. We are supportive of House Bill 2350. And the primary reasons we are is we feel that it's an opportunity for the legislature to deal with one of those sources of revenues that is directly related to a particular use group and can be easily identified as such. And we feel that it's very comparable to the recreation vehicle registration fees, which have been used to support state parks and since the last session to a smaller amount local parks as well. And that program has been extremely successful, and there have been many neglected facilities that have been brought into shape and and many facilities that were slated for closure that have stayed open and available to the people who are paying the tab for that particular program. We think the voters of Oregon deserve a similar program and would also receive similar benefits if we were able to end the subsidy by voters of the highway maintenance program and put those monies into marine facilities and border programs. Basically, we have identified that there is a need. We did a survey last year of the people who would be eligible to receive these funds, and there is about a $1.2 million per biennium deficit between what is needed to maintain the facilities and what is currently available from the other sources that the local governments have available to them. And then we found there's a rehabilitation backlog of about $3.6 million, which would take a number of years, of course, to take care of. So the need is there. The governor is aware of that. The Marine Board budget, which is not before you, also addresses these issues in this particular biennium. The advantage of 2350, of course, is it will provide statutory authorization for this type of a program to continue in the future, assuring the voters of long-term facilities that are properly maintained. I do want to emphasize that the marine fuel tax is not a highway tax. This use of funds for boating programs is totally constitutional. There has been an Attorney General's opinion to that effect, and it has an extremely minor impact on the highway program. The funds are not needed in the governor's current budget for the highway programs, and the effect on the boating programs would be substantial. And I just want to be available for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Bill.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
As the legislation is written, would that allow the use of the funds for salaries as well as materials to, in order to keep those areas open and to maintain the facilities?
The current legislation proposes for these funds to go into the boating safety and facilities account in the Marine Board budget. The statutes which establish the Marine Board allow those funds to be used for a number of purposes, including marine law enforcement, boating safety programs, and maintenance and operation and development of facilities. So the Marine Board is currently looking at a program that would allow some of the funds to augment the existing facilities grant program, which has decreased substantially through the years, mainly for rehabilitation of existing facilities. And in this particular biennium coming up, the proposal is for $500,000, which would be the rehabilitation program. Then they're also proposing a new program for funding operations and maintenance, and this would be a transfer of funds to local governments who provide the boat ramps. And that's $800,000 in the Marine Board budget being proposed by the governor. That would be our understanding of that with our conversations with Marine Board staff and Marine Board is that those funds would be available for any expenses related to the maintenance and operation of boating facilities. That would be salaries, materials, supplies, as well as repairs and other such things.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make it very clear then for the record that the intention behind this legislation is to keep those parks and facilities open to make sure that the funds can be used to pay for salaries and materials necessary to keep them open and to provide that maintenance.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Thanks, Bill.
Thank you very much.
All the witnesses that have signed up and standing are for this measure, and so at this point I'm going to call Mr. Don Heppner from the State Marine Board to explain their position on this. Well, Representative Kopeski didn't say whether he was for or against it, but I guess he was for.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Don Heffner. I'm director of the State Marine Board. Appreciate the opportunity appear before you this morning in support of House Bill 2350 dealing with motor boat fuel taxes directing their transfer to state boating programs. I'm passing out my written testimony as well as some editorials that have appeared throughout the state endorsing the fairness concept of this bill. I'd like to just highlight a few of the points in my testimony. House Bill 2350 is, without doubt, the most important single piece of legislation for the future of boating programs, especially boating facilities and public access throughout the state. It has a direct impact on the ability of the board to fund needed improvements and needed rehabilitation and maintenance at the local level, and it provides us with the ability to serve the 140,000 boat owners who are currently paying this tax. As you've heard, motorboat fuel taxes are the state gasoline tax paid by recreational boat owners for fuel used on the waters of this state. As such, it's an on-highway use of fuel. Although a refund is presently allowed, very few claim it because of the trouble and the hassle of going through the refund provisions. In 1984, there were a total of 358 recreational refunds issued for about $10,000. House Bill 2350 would close the recreational refund provision, but it would allow the refund provision to continue for commercial users, primarily commercial fishermen. And that's an important safeguard in the bill, is to allow that refund to continue for the commercial user.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, Representative Traynor.
Why is that important? That the commercial boaters still are allowed to have the refund and don't pay for it.
Mr. Traherne, or Chairman Traherne, Representative.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair. Go ahead. It's important insofar as, for the most part, recreational boating programs don't provide the types of facilities and services that the commercial users take advantage of. For example, log pond boats burn gasoline. We don't provide launch ramps or safety services or facilities to the benefit of companies running log boats. We also don't provide facilities that directly benefit the commercial fishermen, for example. So we feel that as a business, those people should be entitled to that refund provision. We don't want to tamper with it. Total commercial refunds were probably on the order of about $24,000 in 1984.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
sir. Let me get a little more directly to the point, perhaps, and I think you answered it, but you're not really involved in the docking of commercial fishing boats and that kind of thing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.
The important part of closing the recreational refund provision, though, is it eliminates that you can't have your cake and eat it too problem, which we've encountered with this in the past. I would like to point out that House Bill 2350 would create a more consistent public policy with regard to fuel taxes. Snowmobiles, for example, currently benefit from the fuel tax they pay. It's difficult to explain to recreational boaters why they're any different than that class of user. With that, I would encourage your support of House Bill 2350. I'd be happy to answer any other questions you might have.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to call Don Church from the Columbia River Yacht Club, I guess, or yacht, something like that. Al Gwinner, Oregon Federation of Boaters. Come on up now. And Ray Young, Northwest Marine Trade Association.
Okay. I'm Don Church, president of the Columbia River Yachting Association, representing the majority of the yacht clubs in the greater Portland area, which amounts to about 2,000 boating families. I think the testimony so far has pretty well pointed up what this bill is intended to do. I would supplement a little bit, indicating some of our problems in the Portland area. We've had some studies around a few years ago showing that the impact between the commercial boating, the shipping, the tugging and whatnot, and the recreational boating is reaching a point where there will be some conflicts, problems, possibly accidents. This has been pretty well documented by experts. It's not just something off of the top of our heads. The governor had a committee working on this about 4 years ago, and in-depth study. We try trying to solve this solution, said, well, if we can get some facilities out away from the main harbor area of Portland, it will relieve that. In other words, some attraction away. And this is in the process of being done now by the Marine Board and the county and the Port of Portland. We need to maintain those, and we do need considerable more facilities to attract that. The increase in recreational boating has been phenomenal up till just the last couple of years when the recession was in force. We have now, talking to the sheriff's office yesterday, Harbor Patrol in Portland, about 60,000 boats in the greater Portland area. 40,000 of those are registered in the Tri-County area. Another 20 will be coming from the Washington side. And whether it's right or wrong, they still use our facilities from Vancouver, Washougal, Camas, Kalama, and whatnot down there. So we do need facilities. We are supporting a very viable industry that really adds considerably to the economy and ties in very closely with our tourist industry. I think that's enough said from my standpoint. These gentlemen will have more.
Thanks, Don.
Any questions?
Chairman John, members of the committee, my name is Al Gwinner. I'm president of the Oregon Federation of Boaters. We represent approximately 5,000 members, and my officers and directors join me in respectfully requesting that you give a favorable vote to House Bill 2350. And thank you. It's a pleasure appearing before you.
Thank you. Always wondered who my president was. Ray?
Ray Young, 3191 Northwest Telcher Terrace, Beaverton, Oregon. I represent Northwest Marine Trade Association, about 85 business firms along the Oregon coast and the Columbia River, engaged in building, repairing, supplying boats, mostly recreational boats, and marine supplies and equipment. All members of our association support House Bill 2350, and we request your support. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Charles Sieko from Multnomah County, and Dave Clark from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Society.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Charles Sieko. I'm Park Superintendent for Multnomah County Regional Parks. Just briefly summarize our prepared statement. During the last several years, there's been some very intense competition for general fund revenues at the local level, and to a large extent that has resulted in some serious adverse impacts on maintenance and operation budgets in the park field. In our case, budget reductions have resulted in the elimination of maintenance funds for two of our four boat ramp facilities, a third in our major facility, the major access point to the Columbia River, required about $43,000 in major rehabilitation work last year. The work is complete today, due in large part to the Marine Board grant program, which provided $41,000 of the total cost. Unfortunately, the demand for this type of assistance far exceeds the available funds. Bill and Paul have already explained what the bill will be doing. Although the cities and counties and park and recreation districts are going to receive these funds, the real beneficiary of this bill will be the Oregon voters. And in closing, I'd just like to state that the problem is very real and widespread, and this solution seems to be logical and consistent with past actions and can be realized without significant impairment to other programs. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Dave Clark with the City of Albany Parks and Recreation Director, and also representing the Oregon Parks and Recreation Society, which is made up of most cities and special parks and recreation districts throughout the state. and we would like to go on record as being in support of this bill. We consider the voting facilities, both support facilities and marine facilities, as well as access to the Willamette River is high priority right now in terms of many cities throughout the valley, and I'd like to second what this gentleman said in terms of what's taking place right now in Parks and Recreation agencies throughout the state budget-wise in being able to maintain our boating facilities and other parks. We have a problem also with capital improvements and funding for those right now, and we'd like to be able to continue to use these funds as we have in the past. I know in Albany, we funded two projects, for example, and that amounted to about $100,000 together for both those projects, and it allowed us to bring in $250,000 in federal funds. And those facilities are now at a very heavy use level. We have over 5,000 boaters, registered boaters in Albany, and we'd like to see those stay open, stay in operation, and be able to continue to improve and rehabilitate the boating facilities we have. And that goes for the other cities and special districts in the state of Oregon that have those facilities. So we'd urge your support of this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make a comment. You've probably seen several of the members leaving and coming and going, and we may look inattentive, and I just want to point out that as soon as this hearing is over, this committee is going to vote this bill out probably unanimously. So I just, we can't do that until we've had the hearing. So it's not a matter of us being inattentive. It's a matter of us being anxious to get on with moving it out.
Mr. Lutz from the Department of Transportation, will you please come forward? Could you please tell us, identify yourself, and then tell us what the department's position on this bill is, if there is one.
Mr. Chairman, the committee, for the record, my name is David Lutz. I'm with the Oregon Department of Transportation, Office of Financial Management. The transfer of funds from gasoline taxes to the Marine Board is in the governor's budget, and the department supports the governor's budget. The department supports legislation.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from any members?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Traynor.
It's been my understanding the department is, in fact, not been using these particular monies that are collected, but really is kind of sitting there holding that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Traherne, we have been using the funds that recreational boaters are paying in fuel taxes. Those monies go in to support highway work throughout the state, and some of the money is distributed to county and city governments for their road work.
One more quick one. So at the present time, these voter gas taxes, if you will, are being used for the highway. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Traherne, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much. Are there any other witnesses that would like to testify on this bill? All right, the hearing is closed. We'll open a work session on this bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
ready.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2350 as A engrossed to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Karakin.
Well, I certainly support the motion enthusiastically. You know, in the past, any kind of state assistance to cities and counties in this area has been for the development of facilities, and right now the problem is because of the fiscal crisis, particularly affecting counties, we can't even keep those facilities open. So I'm really glad to see some legislation that will not only provide for expansion facilities, but allow the facilities to be maintained.
Great. Representative Traynor.
Question to staff, Mr. Chair. Have we identified any technical problems in the bill that we need to address? That
Not that I can see. The House Transportation Committee had the bill before, and they made some amendments, including allowing the commercial boaters to still get refunds. That's the major change that they made. Otherwise, it's Doesn't look like there are any technical problems.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? Clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Representative Cloyd?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hugel?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahan?
Aye. Motion passes. We'll ask Representative Kopetsky to carry the bill. Sponsorship. Any other thing that we should be talking about?
Well, there's, that was all that was scheduled today, so unless you...
Are you aware of anything else?
Unless you had something carrying over from a prior day that you wanted to discuss.
Any members have anything that they want to discuss?
Have a nice weekend, John.
Thank you.
Great.
Good job, John.